7 o'clock. I would like to call this meeting to order. There's one public meeting being held this evening in accordance with the Planning Act. The meeting is regarding the application for the amendment to the zoning bylaw from the town of Caledon. The purpose of the public meeting to gather input from the public concerning the application. Any members of the public who have written concerns or appeals dealing with the application being heard at the public meeting should be directed to the town clerk's office. Any interested persons wishing further notification regarding the application are advised to clearly print their name and address and notification list out on the table outside the council chambers. Following the presentation, members of the public will be invited to approach the podium, stating their name and address to provide comments. We ask the members of the public to clearly state their name and address as it's for public record. If you have a presentation material, please provide a copy to the recording secretary at the desk to your left. Please note that any information submitted this evening will be a form part of the town's record. Following the public comments, the members of the council will be invited to ask questions of the presenter regarding the information contained within the presentation. Please note, council members are here to listen to the comments from the public and are not here to provide an opinion or a debate on the matter. I will now ask Brandon Ward, Senior Development Planner, to the Town of Caledon to confirm the notification was conducted in accordance with the Planning Act for public meetings. Mr. Ward?
Yes, I can confirm that the public meeting notification requirements were met for this meeting.
Okay. I will, first of all, call on Mr. Ward to make his presentation, or do we... I'll defer to...
This evening. Okay, so tonight's presentation will just provide a short overview of the town-wide, town-initiated zoning bylaw amendment for agricultural-related uses. And so just before I begin, I just want to stress that no recommendations or decisions will be made tonight, and a planning report on this application will be considered by council at a later date. And if you wish to be notified of this later council meeting, please sign in with the sign-in sheet outside of council. So the purpose of the town-initiated zoning bylaw amendment is to implement recent official plan amendments for agriculture and rural policies. These recent official plan amendments have updated the policy framework for prime agricultural general agricultural and rural policies, as well as policies establishing consistency with the 2014 PPS, or Provincial Policy Statement. Additionally, minor mapping updates have been made, and prior to council meeting, there was a computer set up outside outlining some of the official plan mapping modifications. So the proposed townwide amendment seeks to broaden the range of permitted uses within agricultural-related zones, and we're proposing to do this through modifications of existing terminology and adding new zone standards and definitions. For example, we're proposing to add on-farm diversification uses, agritourism, farm-based alcohol production facilities such as breweries, cideries, and wineries, and agricultural-related industrial and commercial uses. So this slide here outlines the proposed new, modified, or deleted definitions, as well as lists the general provisions that have been added, agricultural tourism and on-farm diversified uses, and as well a copy of the draft bylaw and a summary chart of the modifications are provided outside as well. So changes are also being proposed to Table 10.1 of the zoning bylaw, which identifies permitted uses in the agricultural zone, A1, and the rural zone, A2, and small agricultural holdings, A3. The red highlighted definitions identify new uses that we're proposing to add, and the strikeouts are uses that we're proposing to remove as they've been consolidated into existing or some of the new uses. And then just in terms of next steps, we're asking that comments be provided within the next 3 weeks. And should you have any comments, please provide them to Brandon Ward in development planning approval and policy. His contact information is on the slide here for your reference. And just a final note that we would like to remind interested parties that if they don't make an oral submission or written comments at the public meeting or prior to council deciding on this matter, they will not be entitled to appeal a decision at the OMB and may not be granted a party status at the hearing. So thank you for your time tonight, and we look forward to your feedback.
Now I'll say if there's any comments from the members of the public that are here tonight. If there are, please step forward to the podium and clearly state your name and address. No further questions from the public. I will now go to members of council. Councillor DeBoer.
Thanks. I guess the first question in the conversation we had before was the agriculture-related commercial and agriculture-related industrial uses being permitted only on lots of 4 hectares. The example I used is a fellow who has a 100-acre parcel wanting to have a small equipment dealership or farm equipment sales with it, probably only on a portion of it, but how would that example... How would you see that example working through this process? Because it would be a greater parcel than the four hectares.
Sure. Through you, Mr. Mayor, to Councillor DeBoer. Basically, there's various types of agriculture-related uses that we contemplated in the zoning bylaw amendment, and it stems from the official plan amendments that were recently adopted by council. So first of all, we have the agriculture-related commercial or agriculture-related industrial use. And those uses are intended to be standalone uses, not situated on a farm, but they are intended to serve the agricultural community, provide services to the agricultural community, and so on. The other agriculture-related use is what we've termed on-farm diversified use. Now, this is a use that's situated on an active farm. It's subordinate to the agricultural function of the property. And in our bylaw, we are proposing a general provision section that outlines some criteria that the on-farm diversified use must adhere to. So it sounds like the situation you're referring to would qualify more as a on-farm diversified use because it's situated on a large farm parcel. The reason why we had proposed a limitation on the lot size for the ag-related commercial or industrial use is because the intent is for that to be basically function on its own, be the only use of the property.
Okay, but then if you look at on-farm diversified uses and 4XX and then dash number 5, there shall be no external display or advertising on the property other than a lawful sign to indicate to the persons outside that any part of this lot is being used for an on-farm diversified use. So this applicant would have trouble with displaying equipment. For example, the equipment that he would be looking to sell, and you need to display the equipment out into the field, out into a certain area so that people know what they're looking for and know what there is available. Farm equipment dealerships display stuff just like car dealers do, as an example.
Certainly, it's a valid point. Definitely appreciate your comment. The intent of that limitation on outdoor storage was to avoid or permit or prevent clutter on the landscape, so you don't have the on-farm diversified use basically sprawling out and possibly consuming agriculture productive land. Now, your situation is something that we would have to look at further and see how we can achieve a balance between, you know, avoiding that possible clutter and facilitating this type of use as a viable on-farm diversified use.
Okay, and I think that even using site plan controls or site plan as being a relatively, like, a site plan application or dealing with it as a site plan application to look at controlling the area that will be used for display is something that the applicant and staff could deal with rather than having to have a planning process or something like that. It would be a little bit more straightforward. Yes, it's another process, but it's something that could actually be dealt with the applicant with some assistance of staff, is my opinion. And that might be an easier way to deal with it rather than to... Now, the other question I have is maximum combined growth floor area, when you get into this application, is 250 square meters. I know that you want to limit the size and the scope of it, but I'm just wondering if that having that number in here ends up making it a fairly hard number, and it's something that would be something, you'd have to deal with it through an official plan amendment to change that if you end up having to need a... You couldn't just do a variance.
Well, certainly we can take a look further at that numeric value. The intent of that is to implement the official plan policy, which speaks to having these on-farm diversified uses limited in area, and additional policies that say there should be subordinate in nature or in area to the farm operation itself. So the 250 square meters is sort of zoning's way of codifying that policy and giving a numeric value to implement that. Now that number is something we can look at further.
Well, and whether is it valid to look at it as making the statement, like you said, is that the intent of it is to be addition to and subsequent to the farming operation. So then that would allow for some interpretation as to what the scale is, not knowing what business could happen. Some businesses might require more square feet of building to accomplish value added than maybe something else. If you want to go into, I can't come up with an example right now, but you don't know what you're going to need to manufacture a product or to take your raw materials that you're growing on a farm into something else, and something might take more square feet, but it's still subordinate to the farming operation.
Certainly a fair comment. There may be other options we can look at to use a ratio or something.
It's like a canning factor. If you're taking asparagus and want to can and package, you're going to need more square feet than you are, for example, just running a retail store.
Fair enough. That's
a
fair
comment.
Thanks. I think he's trying to give it.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, you're done?
Yeah.
Thank you, Councillor DeBoer. Councillor Befford.
Yes, I guess it's a general question. Many of us on council are aware of situations where farmers have applied for and after many, many hurdles receive permission to do a certain operation. And we're dealing with some right now that those hurdles are still very prevalent. And my question to you would be, in light of what we've been presented with and some new language, how will this make it easier for the farming community to develop ancillary uses on their farm, or will it?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, to Councillor Befford, that's definitely the intent of this amendment, as well as the official plan amendment, which it seeks to implement, is to try to recognize that agriculture is changing, that we're trying to provide more opportunities for the farming community to basically diversify. And it all stems from provincial policy that recognizes that there are new agriculture-related uses on the landscape, farm-based alcohol production, agritourism. So the purpose of this amendment is to recognize that and make it easier for these things to happen. But at the same time, we want to make it so they happen appropriately. And so these uses are truly, they're reflective of our agricultural intentions and our policies. And they're still in keeping with our agricultural and rural character. So that's one thing that one of the challenges of dealing with zoning is it doesn't allow for that flexibility that an official plan does. It's interpreted very rigidly. So when we're trying to codify the intention of the official plan through zoning, we have to come up with definitive numeric values and standards. So we have to look at them very carefully so they are achieving those permissions and allowing for that flexibility of those options, but at the same time, we're not undermining that fundamental intent for our agricultural areas.
And I appreciate that. But Brandon, are there also, as you go through this, these steps, are there also corresponding steps that take place in terms of the planning department for the application, for the site plan, for those hurdles that are there? So if the farmer sees with respect to your rezoning, the zoning bylaw, that it's a preferred use for his property, can he now assume that there will be some corresponding changes in the other aspects of when he applies to make it, and I'm going to say easier, I don't mean that we should make it easy, but we should make it appropriate for the operations that they want.
Mr. Hughes?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. That's a fair comment, Councillor Beffert, and that has been something that's come up recently on certain applications as we move through this transitional period, if you know what I mean. We will go back and take a look at that, recognizing that not necessarily do our industrial and commercial guidelines, which apply to our employment areas and commercial areas and our urban centers, do they always match up correctly with these forms of situations in our rural community? So we will go back and take a look at that, and as part of our report, we'll respond to that.
And I really appreciate that, Rob, because there's a distinct difference between what we're asking for sometimes on the farm and what we're asking for in the urban centers. So thanks.
Thank you, Councillor Beffert. Councillor McClure?
Yes, and I have the same concerns as Councillor DeBoer and Councillor Beffert. My thought is that if some farmer put up the sign advertising what he was going to do, bylaw will be out there the next day trying to hang him. So and these are all good ideas. We should be like the Mennonites around Elmira. They all have a, and they keep things neat. And as long as it's kept that it's not a junkyard, I believe that all these farm sideline businesses should be allowed.
Councilor McClure, you got to ask it as a question. You can't give an opinion.
Well, I asked him if he'd hang them if they put a sign out. What do you want me to? So, okay, well. He knows what I mean.
Thank you. Councillor Shaughnessy.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Couple of questions. I'll try and frame them as a question because I
thank you.
Sorry. Place of assembly, it says that it's been amended. Where's the original and where's... I can't... If they're not side by side or they're not... A line yeah. through them. Whereabouts on the chart on the back, Rob?
Sure, I can answer that.
Yes,
through
Brandon.
You, Mr. Mayor, to Councillor Shaughnessy. In our table for place of this assembly, we've simply added the words, and this is, it states currently, means a premises used for the gathering of groups of people, and then after that we've added hosting of events.
Okay.
Just to be for clarity.
Okay, so that's good. The other question is, if we're doing this, why are we not going to the trouble of identifying what a bona fide farmer is? I know the Peel Federation had some issues with how it was originally worded, and it seems to me that if we're adjusting this and trying to make this better for farmers, should we not be identifying who a farmer is?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, to Councillor Shaughnessy, we did receive that comment in our circulation that perhaps we should be considering the definition of bona fide farmer in our zoning bylaw. We will look into that. However, there may be an issue with defining that term in our zoning bylaw, because generally your zoning bylaw looks at defining uses or things of that nature. With this, we're now wading into the waters of now we're defining a person or something like that. So it's something we can definitely look into further, though.
But it is in our official plan.
It is defined in the official plan, but...
I just think to do one without the other doesn't make sense to me. I mean, I think we should look at it because we have lots of people who aren't farmers. They have their main source of income elsewhere, and then they divide up parts of their property to do other things. And I think we're here to help the farmer and make them stronger. So I would love to see that included. And in agritourism here, okay, sensitive issue. The thing about farm... Oh, God, here I'm talking again. I've got to ask a question.
You got to ask a question.
Frig. Other uses on farms that have come before us, I'm trying to figure out how they fit into this new revised bylaw that we're creating, i.e. wedding venues. Where do they fit in under what you've defined here?
Well, we have modified the place of assembly definition to include gathering of groups and hosting of events. The official plan policy does speak to hosting of events, sort of, may be permitted, subject to fulfillment of certain criteria, and subject to a zoning bylaw amendment. So I don't believe in our changed uses that we've listed a place of assembly as a permitted use as of right in any of the zones, so that requirement still needs to be fulfilled.
So shouldn't we define it first?
Well, again, it falls under place of assembly, that a wedding event venue would constitute a premises used for the gathering of groups of people / hosting of events.
So if somebody was using an existing farm and took it out of production to use it for a wedding venue is one thing versus land that was always used for something else that maybe wasn't necessarily used for farming. I think there's got to be, there's a distinction. I mean, from people who have estates and they've been estates for the last 60 years prior to Callan's amalgamation, or they were used as riding camps, or they were, I'm thinking of Scott Mission. I just think we have to somehow figure out how we're going to identify the differences.
That's a fair comment. We can certainly look into maybe adding some clarity. The issue with this definition of place of assembly is it does apply to other uses of this nature throughout the bylaw. It might be a banquet hall or something like that too, not just exclusively terming a wedding event venue or something like that. So nevertheless, it is something we will take a further look at.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Councillor Downey? Oh, sorry, Mr. Hughes.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor. If I could just add to that, though, just so there's clarity, this draft bylaw that's not being considered today but is here for information does not include as a permitted use within any of the three agricultural uses a place of assembly. Just so that's not what's intended through this bylaw. So,
thank you for clarification on that, Mr. Hughes. Councillor Downey.
Thank you. Through you, Mayor Thompson. I just have a quick question about 4XX3 under agritourism uses and 4XX2 under on-farm diversified uses, just to follow up with Councillor Shaughnessy's comments about defining the role of a farmer or however you want to state that. I'm wondering why then we are defining who should manage, who's owning and operating, how many employees that they would have in each season. Maybe if you could give me some basis, like where that came from, where those numbers came from, what the basis is.
Certainly. Through you, Mr. Mayor, to the Councillor Downey, the intent of this requirement is to implement the upper-level official plan policy that speaks to the agritourism use being, again, related to an active farm being conducted by the farm operator. So it's not something distinct and separate or not related to an existing farm operation. So this is zoning's way of basically implementing that says the use must be managed by the farm owner and operator. So there's a direct connection between the agritourism use itself and the farm on which it's situated on, and there's a direct relationship that the owner of the farm, the whoever's doing the farming, is also operating the agritourism mm-hmm. use, so it's not something that's done by somebody else independently.
That, yeah, I completely agree with that. I guess I'm maybe wondering then why we're listing the amount of employees they're permitted to have.
That's an attempt to sort of put some controls on the scale and extent of the use. The official plan policy talks about these uses being limited in area in terms of are limited in area and I believe subordinate to the farming operation. So, you know, by putting limitations on the amount of employees and whatnot in the floor area, this is again zoning's way of implementing that intent.
Yeah, so I'm wondering maybe if that's something that we can look into. I think that then you're putting stipulations on how someone's business can grow or flourish. If I have a really busy season and you're telling me I can only have 5 employees, but I need 10,
it's a fair comment. That's something we can definitely revisit, mm-hmm. that criteria.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Ennis? Okay. Okay. Councilor McClure.
Yes. Do you know that the OFA's definition of a farmer is a person that makes $7,000 a year on the property? But maybe that's a
definition that could be used.
Yeah. Have you ever thought of that?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, to Councillor McClure, I was not aware of that specific definition. However, I have heard different documents and different associations have different means of defining farming or agriculture, but I'll definitely note that.
That's a pretty general one. You can't get an OFA card unless you make that much. So maybe think about that.
Certainly. Thank you.
Okay. Councillor Bedford?
I always thought that was the definition of a teacher, Madam Mayor. Mr. Mayor.
Oh.
In any event,
we're not talking about monthly salaries here.
I look at the agricultural classifications, and I assume with the new LEER guidelines, if they are approved, that this would be a seamless transition to the use of the new LEER definitions?
I believe the LEER study exercise is a separate study that the town is doing. The intent of this zoning exercise is not to capture that. It's to basically implement what the official plan amendment that the council has adopted has already been done. With respect to any zoning adjustments that are necessitated through the LEER exercise, I presume that can be incorporated into the town-wide zoning bylaw amendment exercise that we are dealing with.
Okay, I'm not a farmer, but I'm just trying to determine whether the LEER classifications are something that would affect this policy.
Not this specific amendment.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Bedford. I've got a one thing I clarify here as a question. Councillor DeBoer brought up site plan. The question I have is could we consider it like a property standards plan? Because the big challenge is when you start to talk about site plan, then regional development charges step in on challenges. So I was asking if we could look at something such as a property standards plan, I think is what Councillor DeBoer is looking for, versus a scoped or any kind of a site plan, because I you can correct me on it, but you know, I do believe that I think development charges do kick in, and I think that can make it unaffordable for any on-farm occupation. Could we just do some studies and consideration on that?
Mr. Mayor, yes, we can take a look at that as part of the other question in responding to site plan control. There are other things that also kick in when you look at, when you have site plan control on the table, including road right-of-ways and some of those other things too, which have come up in the past. So, yeah, we could take a look at that.
Could we also look at, in agricultural areas, there have been buildings that have been previously zoned as antique shops, but you can't have a farm market or anything because it can only be an antique shop. You know, meanwhile, the buildings are looking decrepit and everything, yet it could also add to the economy as a, you know, a veterinary clinic or anything else that could be used on those buildings. Can we just look at what could fit, you know, even in the official plan versus just those scope zonings on those old applications? Is that doable in this exercise?
Not necessarily through this exercise. That might be something more for consideration through the townwide zoning update project we're working on, because it sounds like you're referring to exception zones.
Yes.
And the issue with those zones is they went through an amendment process, and at the time it might have been a certain use that was requested, and the implementing bylaw only implemented the use that was basically requested at that time. So we might... That might be an opportunity to go back and revisit some of those exception zones and see if they can maybe be integrated to allow for additional use permissions there.
I just want to make sure it gets caught, because those are still zoned A1, right? Even though they got that specific. Yeah. So I'm just saying, if it doesn't fit here, we've got to make sure it fits somewhere.
No, it's a very valid comment and something we can definitely look into through the townwide amendment update.
Okay. Thank you very much. Councillor Mizzapelli.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. Just listening to some of the comments and even reading this, some of the things that popped out to me were, and I know in previous agricultural policies, specifically with square footage of buildings, I know we ran into issues where it was a numeric value. And then anybody who came in with an application that surpassed that, they'd have to either do a rezoning or official plan amendment, whatever it would be. And listening to some of the comments tonight, a lot of them deal with the numbers. And Brandon, you mentioned that the OPA is kind of philosophical in nature and the zoning kind of gets down to the nitty-gritty and numbers. But recognizing that one farm operation and another farm operation may look very different, have different sizes, different number of staff, requirements of signage, all these kinds of things that have been talked about tonight. Is there any way to have that incorporated into the zoning that still maintains the integrity of the commitment to maintaining the primary agricultural function and having this being subservient and not having the applicant having to come in and asking for an exception or exception to the zoning or what have you, where we maintain that integrity, but it is it still allows different operators to come in and meet that goal in different ways.
Sure, certainly. Through you, Mr. Mayor, to Councillor Mezzapelli, that's certainly a very valid comment. As mentioned earlier, that's one of the challenges with zoning versus official plan. Even though official plan struggles in many circumstances when trying to quantify or elaborate on small scale or limited in area, it always comes under dispute. And zoning's way, again, is to try to put in deals with minimums and maximums, recognizing that, you know, it doesn't say that all uses shall be 250 square meters. It might put in a maximum with the intent that, well, recognizing that every use is going to fluctuate in terms of its own need, that the upper level, the maximum, that cannot be exceeded. But that being said, if somebody comes forward with 252 square meters, because zoning is so rigid, that now enters the conversation, do they need an amendment, do they need a variance, and so on. So we definitely will look at other options for these numeric provisions. Are there other ways we can explain that, or maybe we need to look at the number and change the number?
And I'll just add to that, that's the benefit of having the public process and having this draft document available, is that if, as part of our review, perhaps we're off on the number of employees or the square footage of a building and we need to look at something different based on the fact that that's what's possibly going to be out there, we're certainly willing to look at that, hear from those who are proposing these forms of facilities out there, and certainly consider adjusting the numbers accordingly. So...
So to follow, thank you, Councillor Mizzapelli, but I'm going to follow up with my next question here is, on the building lot, or not on a farm lot, you know, you're only allowed a certain size of a building envelope. We now have MDS that's pretty rigid on how you can expand operations. So my question is every time, you know, a farm operation goes to expand, they got to come for a variance because they go over that limit. What is it, 0.7 of a, or 7 acres of a 100-acre farm that you're only allowed to build on? Even if it's a 200-acre farm, it's the same, it's still that limited amount. For the size of the farm operations, and especially building newer barns and newer facilities and everything, it just seems to be it's an added step. And a lot of municipalities have let this go. And I do believe Councillor DeBoer and myself, on the previous council, brought a motion forward that when we do this review, that we consider this dropping that limitation out, because the MDS and nutrient management and everything else has already captured that. If you look through rural Ontario, especially southwestern Ontario, Huron, Perth, Middlesex, Oxford have all dropped, and Elgin County have all dropped those building lot require, you know, that building envelope requirement. I'm just saying, is this not the exercise where we can capture that?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. In response to that, that's a valid point. However, the purpose of this amendment has been to simply implement, I believe it's Official Plan Amendment 237. That is the amendments that were undertaken to the official plan to implement the 2014 PPS. What you're referring to sounds like a greater issue with some of the zone provisions already in place in the agriculture and rural zones.
Yes.
Perhaps that's something, again, to be considered more through the comprehensive townwide amendment. I don't mean to be keeping, deferring to that exercise, but these are all issues that are raised with the performance of the bylaw in other areas, when the purpose of this amendment is simply to update the bylaw to come into conformity with the official plan.
I understand that, but I think there's a motion that's sitting on the books that this needs to be addressed. So to me, when it's ag related, okay, I assume this is where it would fit. So I just want to make sure that we have that covered off, and if we can pull up that, I'm just asking, could we please consider that?
Sure.
Thank you very much. I just don't want it missed because it is a motion still sitting on the books to be dealt with.
Okay.
No further questions from council? Okay. If there's no further questions from the public, we do have, please come forward. It's okay. Yes, you have to come forward. And please give us your name and your address for the public record, please.
Okay. My name is Teresa Nader-Tabolka. I'm at 2146 Old Baseline Road since 1986. And my interest here, now I'm speaking to yourself, Mr. Mayor, and to the staff, I believe. And thank you for those of you who actually brought the questions forward, because I didn't want to query until I sort of got a better sense as to, you know, what the councillors actually thought of this. And my concern or my question arises from the fact, naturally, that we do want to keep people who live here and who love Caledon, especially those of us west of 10, would like to see more farms. But this, and I think we do look for opportunity to be in, you know, to open opportunity. However, many of the properties are considered A1 and are agricultural, as mine is. Therefore, and I only have 8 acres. My neighbors have 10, 15, 20, 25, 50, 60, all A1. My concern, and I have seen things even within the town itself in terms of applications for change of status for short term, which I'm not against either, and I'm thinking about venues with regards to having homes that are on agricultural. Again, I think it stems from what Barb Shaughnessy mentioned around the farm. Like, am I a farm, and can I then say that I would like to put a vegetable stand at the bottom of my property because it's that way, and that I will be able to then have a sign there also that I can put up at any time? And I'm not trying to be devil's advocate, but the issue is that we want to be, I know those of us who want to live here for a long time want to be open to all of this, but you also have to understand what those definitions are, and I'm very confused around the definitions. Being, am I a farm? Am I not a farm? Who can do this? Does that mean that I can, through Pan Am, without application, open my home to be a bed and breakfast? And I sat through the NEC, Greenbelt, what's the other, Oak Ridges and Moraine meetings, both in Caledon, as well as I went to St. Catharines. And I've also been, I was also at the one in Vaughan with relating to the native people. And again, only out of interest in understanding how things are being looked at. And there are three different definitions for all of that. And it's, to me, it just, you're asking, and I can see that there's need, there's pressure, but there seems to be a lot of push, and this is all happening before, you know, it's actually being talked about. And so again, I guess my question is that we're looking for change, yes, we're looking for consideration, but to put something like this in place without defining first what a farmer is, and I am agricultural, and if I want to put in a bag, if I want to have a potato garden, and if I want to put in a bed and breakfast, then you know what? And have to put signs up to say so. Again, not that I don't want it, but I think the process has to be clear in those definitions. And again, signage is huge in Caledon. We don't want signs. I want to see the farmers. I want to see, and if people need to be told to come here, well, you know what? They have to get their computers out and look and see, you know, basically. So, I mean, I think those are the points. Sorry, I know I brought, but it's just strictly out of interest and out of the. I hope I can. I'm expressing sort of a little bit of the frustration in terms of, you know, we don't want to set parameters, but this is a very big issue, I think, and it maybe unless I'm misunderstanding it, but to me it just seems that it could be something so positive, but until you've defined what a farmer is and what they can do and who this is, I see this as an opportunity for people such as myself, people who come here, live here for 5 years, you know, come in, do what they want, move out, and we're stuck with it. You know, some of us don't want that, and therefore, can we look at things to control it? And also to give fair due to those farmers who do need this. Can I lease part of my property out and have this done? Does that mean that I am going to have to be the one to run this farm? Am I going to be the one who's going to have the B&B, or can I, for 2 weeks of the year, give my cottage up for someone else to run for me? And will this be an opportunity for the town of Caledon to actually increase taxes to show that, yes, we are? I mean, if that's the case, then fine. If it means not having four houses there and only having one, I say do it. But if it's not, if it's just going to mean that I'm going to give up because I'm fighting with everyone anyway, then you sell it off to a subdivision. So, you know, again, these are all of those things. And I think that there needs to be a lot more discussion. I'm all for progress, but I'm also all for it being done thoughtfully. And I think that the residents and the taxpayers have to be part of that discussion. And it shouldn't be led by planners. It needs to be led by what people want to see in their neighborhoods. I know that I brought forward a lot, but I have a problem with all of that.
Do you have any comment on
any of the above? I can just put comments. That in writing for you.
No, I thought Rob was going to pick up the microphone.
Through you, Mr. Chair. I'm not sure if I have too many comments. I think our intent here was to be more permissive, try and expand and allow for more based on, I think, what as Brandon has noted, changes in provincial legislation, changes that council has brought forward and approved in our official plan. We're trying to open things up so it allows for more opportunities for farmers to do things on their properties. So that's the direction that this is moving towards.
But I'm saying, though, pardon me, that you just said that you're looking for ways for farmers to do this, but what it actually is doing is it's giving anyone under A1 to be able to do that kind of thing. So it's not just farmers, it's everybody. And I have a problem, and you know, again, it's if it's for the farmers, fine, but then define it as farmers and what it can be, and if they're going to be the people who are going to be running these extra businesses, is it going to be? So again, all I'm saying is that I disagree with the way I've looked at this. I came here on my own. I'm not a farmer, But I see it as being as something that could be get out of control. And I'm here as a taxpayer just wanting to put that. And I guess the thing is that I'm supposed to be leading this discussion. You know, it's supposed to be the people who live here who lead the discussion. And I think that being said that it's to reflect other areas. Well, you know what? Where I live, it's very unique. And I don't necessarily want to look like other areas. So, but and again, it's not everywhere. I mean, Bolton, Caledon East, where it's identified, Mayfield West, fine. But putting it general across all of Caledon, I have issue with.
Okay. So that's, thank you. Yeah. Thank you very much. Okay. There's no further questions. I will thank Ms. Mystery for being here, as well as Mr. Hughes and Mr. Ward. And I will say this meeting is closed at 7:45. Thank you very much.